you are into politics, we are definitely in the fast lane. It is spanning the state, and we are at the RNC live in UW Panther Arena on Media Row. I'm Brian Noonan.
And I am Kristen Bry. And of course, for all of the pomp and circumstance and the spectacle and the event of this, and as we talk about the economic impact of this, there is also all of this week is also leading to an election that is happening in November, an election that...
Oh, so there's a point to this
there
party?
There is a point to this, and if you don't know, Wisconsin's usually pretty important in these in these things called elections. The presidential election and the Electoral College runs through Wisconsin. We have a Senate race that is very tight right now. The 3rd Congressional District with Derek Van Orden is going to be a tight race. And also, for the first time in 12 years... the Wisconsin legislature, especially the assembly, could be up for grabs. And so there is a lot at stake as far as how this week is impacting the election this fall. And no better person to talk about all of that with than Barry Burden, professor of political science at UW-Madison and founding director of the Elections Research Center. Welcome to the show, Barry.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
We ran into each other on Monday, and I didn't know that you were going to be here. And so I'm happy that by the end of the week, we got you on. Because truly, you were probably the best person to talk to is what this week means for November.
Right.
For Wisconsin.
The convention was placed in Wisconsin because they want to have an impact on Wisconsin.
Exactly.
And the Dems tried to do this 4 years ago. I've been surprised how little attention there has been given to Wisconsin in the speeches each night. I mean, those could happen anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? You know, the audience is the nation, not what's happening here. But I think there's going to be a big impact here. I mean, Biden and the Democrats are in serious trouble at the moment.
It's not been a good month.
It's been rough, sort of culminating in the COVID diagnosis last night. Republicans are euphoric. They are united. They've got their act together. They have a leader that they are 100% behind.
Yep.
I've not seen this kind of unity before at a convention. It's not really much of a party. It's really a Trump organization that is functioning really smoothly at the moment and has everything going for it. Now, there's 3 or 4 months left until Election Day. There'll probably be another debate. We've got a Democratic convention to go to. We've got Olympics in Paris in between. So things will happen. But I think, you know, the way it affects Wisconsin most is probably the U.S. Senate race, besides obviously the presidential race. We're a battleground and we'll be one of the contributing states to the Electoral College outcome. Biden's in real trouble in Wisconsin at the moment.
Well, let's go to that Senate race.
Yeah.
Since you mentioned it, what do you think the impact is going to be? We've seen Eric Hovde around here. He's working the room. He's working the buildings.
He spoke on Tuesday.
Sure did.
How do you think that helps him? How do you think that race will be affected?
So Hovde's doing his introduction, basically, to Republicans around the country, and I think that will help his fundraising.
Yeah.
That's why that's a real benefit of being in this network for these days. I think it will cause Tammy Baldwin to run even more of an independent campaign. She has always done that. She has her own operation. She's a very effective Democratic candidate, maybe the best Democratic candidate in Wisconsin. She has a kind of special sauce that other Democrats have tried to learn from or emulate. And I think the troubles that Biden is having at the top of the ticket give her more incentive to just run her own race.
To not show up when he comes to town.
She doesn't need to be there with him. She needs to go into rural communities where she has overperformed other Democrats, continue to do that, continue to raise money, and just her sort of careful, methodical approach to building an election machine she's so good at. So I think it's an extra incentive for her to just continue to do her own thing.
Because do you think there'll be a spike in the next round of polling for Hovde after this week?
Certainly for Trump in Wisconsin. And if she's lucky, she can insulate herself from it moving down the ballot. But Hovde now is now better known. He's going to get an influx of cash, I think, from the connections he's making here. You know, he's not been on the air a lot. I think he's an unknown quantity to a lot of voters in Wisconsin. So we've got time for that race to mature over the next few weeks. But I think she's going to double down on the strategy of her being the Baldwin campaign. It's not going to be a unified Democratic, you know, integrated campaign, I think, up and down the ballot as long as there's turmoil at the top.
What do you think the impact of J.D. Vance's pick is going to have on Wisconsin voters? Do you think they'll see this as cementing that platform, or does it take away a little bit?
Well, we will see Vance in Wisconsin, that's for sure. I think it helps cement the connection between Trump and rural white voters.
Okay.
Right, the story that J.D. Vance can tell about his upbringing in rural Ohio and Kentucky, he can go into those rural communities and do smaller events Trump can't do a small, Biden can't do a big event, and Trump can't do a small event. It's got, but you know, Trump has to have 1,000 people minimum to appear, and Biden doesn't want 1,000 people. So very different kinds of things. But J.D. Vance can go into a gymnasium of 100 people or talk at a school or something else and bounce around to rural communities in the state, I think, really effectively, and then Trump can fly into Wausau or Racine and, you know, do a fairgrounds kind of thing. So they've got, I think, different assets that will work well in a state like Wisconsin.
Have you been surprised with the lack of the A word this week, being A word being abortion? Mm-hmm. And I was waiting to see if J.D. Vance would allude to it at all, because he is probably, arguably, one of the most anti-abortion senators. Did not mention it. No one has mentioned it. Thoughts?
It's completely absent here as an issue. It's an integral part of what Republicans believe. They want to protect the unborn, as they would say. Mm-hmm. It's been in every Republican platform as long as we can remember. And it's often decided who wins the nomination on the Republican side. You know, a pro-choice Republican candidate could not be the nominee after about the 1970s or 1980s. Yeah. So we know where Republicans stand on the issue, but they're extremely quiet about it. Even just walking the grounds here around the convention, you don't see pro-life groups. There aren't kind of religious organizations here talking about the culture of life in the way they would have during the Bush years or later. It will come back in the fall election. This is one of the assets the Democrats still have, is abortion is an energizing issue for them. And I think back on the J.D. Vance discussion, because he's taken pretty harsh positions on abortion, and Kamala Harris has been carrying the abortion issue for the Biden campaign. If she's still the vice presidential running mate and they end up in a debate together, you can be sure that she will draw a contrast on abortion, and Democrats will continue to hammer Vance on his past statements about Trump generally, but about abortion and specifically. Yeah.
Were you surprised at all? Because there has been some pushback from a lot of Republicans that the platform on abortion and pro-rights was too soft. So do you see the official platform changing at all as we get closer to November?
I think the platform is locked. That was done in a very efficient process that kept most of the delegates out of the process. So they were intentional about the wording. There is this reference to the 14th Amendment, which is sort of a dog whistle to conservatives in the movement who understand that's a kind of personhood idea that might allow them to ban abortion nationally or state by state or something else. So there's sort of a wink at that movement, but without the A word being said in the same way. So I don't know. There are definitely others in the party who expect if Trump is elected president, he will nominate only pro-life justices and judges at the federal level. And he might get a couple more justices. I mean, he could be a president who after two terms has appointed six justices?
It's wild.
Nothing like that in American history.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Barry, as always, your insight is very, very valuable. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Yeah, this is fun.
Thanks for being here.
Barry Burton is the professor of political science at UW-Madison and founding director of the Elections Research Center. It's Spanning the State.